And behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this wonderful date, namely March the 16th in the year of our Lord 2015. And being a Monday, it means we're going to examine some of the readings. That is for the fifth Sunday in Lent. That's kind of what we're going to be taking a look at. And tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to this. One of my favorite hymns, probably one in the top five, My Song is Love Unknown. We're going to be examining that with Pastor Mark Smith. You don't want to miss that one because that is such a well-written hymn. But today we're taking a look at Jeremiah chapter 31, which talks about the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, if it is a new covenant, that means it is replacing an old covenant. In fact, if you ask most people what are the two main parts of the Bible, I would hope they would say law and gospel, but they don't. They say many times Old Testament and New Testament. And when you ask a person what is meant by the Old Testament, what is meant by the New Testament, they will say, well, the books, the 39 books of the Old Testament, the 27 books of the New Testament. Do you know that the Bible never uses that phraseology, Old Testament, New Testament, or Old Covenant, New Covenant, to refer to the books of the Bible? No. Instead, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, or the Old Testament and the New Testament, refer to the two covenants that God has made with his people. And Jeremiah 31, verse 31, talks about this new covenant with the house of Israel that the Lord is going to make. So we want to know, okay, what was the old covenant? Was it to Adam and Eve? Was it maybe to Abraham? No. Verse 32 explains, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. Ooh. So, what is different about the two covenants? Well, we have to go to the place where the old covenant was installed. He says it was when he took them out of the land, and sure enough, we find it in Exodus chapter 24. Yes, in Exodus 24, Moses comes near to the Lord, and he tells the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules, which would be the commandments, the ceremonial laws, etc. Now listen what the people say. All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, to establish that covenant, there was offered peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he threw against the altar. And then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. Now listen to this. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. And then Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Now, there is one huge difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And that is that in the old covenant, the people broke it. What did they break? Well, covenants were kind of like agreements or treaties between nations. And in this case, the nation said, we will do and be obedient to all of these rules. Well, you know how long that lasted. Did you ever hear of the golden calf? The old covenant failed. And it failed because of the disobedience of the people. So God established a new covenant. And we think, well, maybe that new covenant occurs in the New Testament books. No. He talks about it in Jeremiah chapter 31. And here's what he says about it. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For, now here it comes, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's new covenant. I'll tell you a very simple way to understand these two covenants. If the covenant or agreement is conditional, then that would be old covenant language. Conditional on the basis of the obedience of the people. If the covenant is unconditional, then that would be the new covenant. It's the difference between a covenant of law, whereby we get right with God by our works, and a covenant of gospel. Now, you may be asking, well, what happened to all those Old Testament people if they were under this old covenant? Well, they weren't. Because the new covenant appears in the Old Testament books. The first time it appears is with Adam and Eve, where God promises to send a Messiah to Adam and Eve. In fact, Eve thinks in chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 1, that Cain is the Lord. But of course, she's wrong. He's not the Messiah. He's the first murderer. So it took thousands of years before Jesus came on the scene. We also find the covenant with Abraham. How can we show that that's unconditional? Well, one of the things that occurred in a covenant, let's say one nation defeated another and then they made an agreement, and of course the defeated nation would be saying we're going to obey the nation that conquered us, but then representatives of each nation, they would sacrifice various animals and cut them in parts and make a path that you could walk between the sacrificial animals. And what would that mean? It would mean that if I break the covenant, let it happen to me that has happened to these animals. Now, Abraham had a vision. And guess what? There was that path. But also, guess what? Abraham didn't walk down through it. Only God did. You see, this is why the new covenant is so superior to the old covenant, because it's a covenant based on better promises. In fact, if you really want to look to see the distinctions between the old and the new covenant, you can't find a better book than the book of Hebrews. Because in the book of Hebrews, it talks about that difference. Let's take a look at chapter 8, and then I'm going to share with you something that may surprise you. In chapter 8, it talks about, as it is, verse 6, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old covenant. The mediates is better. He mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. So there it is in one nutshell, how God describes the two covenants. The new one is better because it's based on better promises. What does that mean? It's based only on the promises of God. Are you right with God? Well, through baptism, God has forgiven your sins and given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that can occur when you're an infant. It's nothing you do. Baptism is a sacramental act that God does upon you. In fact, in Acts 2, when the people realize they've killed the Messiah, what shall we do? When Peter tells them to be baptized, it's a passive. What do we mean by passive? It's not something they do. They don't baptize themselves. They are baptized by God himself. Now, guess after the writer to the Hebrews says, if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. I mean, you can't get clearer than these passages that there are two covenants. Now, how does he find fault? He finds fault with them when he says, now look at what comes next is our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, so I showed no concern for them. You see, that's important. People who think, okay, I'm going to be right with God because I obey his commandments. When they disobey his commandments, that covenant is broken. So God continues in verse 10 of Hebrews 8. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. And listen to verse 12. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. You see, under the old covenant, God would remember sins because you had made a promise never to sin. But under the new covenant, God no longer remembers sin. Now, that doesn't mean that in his memory he forgets about sins. What it means that he no longer remembers them is he never gets even with you. He puts your sins on his son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about with the new covenant. It's a huge difference. Now, there are some people who believe that both covenants are still in effect. You'll often hear this, well, I know Jews are saved because they're saved under the old covenant. Nobody was able to be saved under the old covenant because all of us are sinners. And therefore, that agreement with God is impossible to fulfill. That's the first point I want to make. I did read an article that was interesting that was trying to make the point that just because the old covenant is no longer in existence, a lot of people think that that means the Ten Commandments are no longer in existence. That's not correct at all. The Ten Commandments, they are the will of God. Under both covenants, they still exist. If you don't believe that, read the Sermon on the Mount. Not only can't you kill somebody by inaction, you can't even have a bad thought about them or say a bad word against them. That's sin. So verse 13 of Hebrews 8 is really critical. In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Okay, what is it about the old covenant that is obsolete and is ready to vanish away? That part where you make your promise, oh, I will obey you. I mean, I even hear Lutherans say that sometimes. Lord, if you allow this to happen in my life, maybe a new job, get the house I want, the car I want, I promise I'll attend church every Sunday. God doesn't appreciate that kind of a promise. We attend church every Sunday, not because we get a special blessing from God, and therefore God, well, he now merits our attending worship services. No, we attend because we need to be forgiven of our sins each Sunday, and we need to understand his will for our life. And particularly, we need to understand the importance of the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So this is really a great book, namely the book of Hebrews, in order to make it very clear that these wonderful promises of the new covenant are definitely for us, for those who have been adopted. You see, here's how I would explain, using an analogy. In the old covenant, you're kind of an employee, and you make an agreement with your employer that you'll be at work on time, not have long lunches, and not leave until your work is done. And so if you fail that, you get fired. The new covenant is likened to that of an adoption. What does a baby do to get adopted? Nothing. And yet, once adopted, the baby gets all these blessings of free clothes and a free bed and free transportation and free food. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And it is so clear from Scripture that this is really the difference between Exodus 24. Where was the new covenant established, finally? It's in 1 Corinthians 11, where Jesus gives us his body and he gives us his blood under the form of bread and wine for the remission of sins, for eternal salvation. That's why Jesus, as a high priest, is a far better person in giving us that new covenant. And now, just in case you're still confused that the old covenant isn't Exodus 24, I would encourage you to go to Hebrews chapter 9 and then verses 11 and following. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. In other words, the tent is referring to that old tabernacle, but the new and perfect one is Christ himself. He is the temple. He entered once for all into the holy places. Now listen to this. Not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Now, when was that blood of goats and calves talked about? Exodus 24. That's how that particular covenant, the old covenant, was ratified. Now, did that mean nothing, that old covenant? No, listen to verse 13. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh. Well, what does that mean? What happened, if you read Exodus 24, how many people went up on Mount Sinai? A lot of people say, well, Moses, maybe Aaron. No, there were 74 people, 70 elders, two prophets, Moses and Aaron. And guess what? They saw God. They ate with God. Did you know that? Look at Exodus 24. You see, that particular covenant purified their flesh so they could enter into the presence of God. But now, verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, see, that's not the blood of goats and bulls, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How is our conscience purified? Well, when you have a bad conscience, aren't you kind of worried about, I'm going to get punished for what I did wrong? Yes. How do you get a pure conscience? The punishment is taken away. It's not that you didn't do wrong, but the punishment is taken away. And that occurred through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, once more, if you're still confused that this new covenant is different, listen to verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 9. Therefore, he, that is Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred, now remember, not goats and calves, because, boy, they never took care of sins, but a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. And whose death is that? That's the death of Jesus Christ. And so, when we talk about a last will and testament, you'll understand verse 17. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. Wow. See, that's old covenant. You just, in light of the book of Hebrews, you know the old covenant was established at Exodus 24 because that's what's being described here. And then, of course, the writer of Hebrews makes clear that Christ entered not only into the holy places made with hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Wow. So, if you're having a conversation with somebody, old covenant, new covenant, understand that's not the distinction between the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament. I mean, I could spend another 2 hours talking about the distinction between Old Covenant and New Covenant. It's something that's really interesting. By the way, I will be having another seminar in Emmanuel, Olivet, Missouri, there are 9733 Olive Boulevard on April the 20th. Fifth. It's a Saturday, 1 to 4:30. I'll give you more details how you can sign up for it. It'll be $10 a person, and we'll be talking more about that in the near future. And this covenant, wow, could be something that we might even talk about, although I've got some videos that I think are just really wonderful, and I'm looking forward to doing them. But if you want an explanation of how different are the two covenants, I encourage you to read the book of Hebrews. Just be aware that the new covenant, the covenant of the gospel, was also found in the Old Testament books. Remember, God came to Abraham and he gave him a promise. He said, you know that wife of yours, 65 years old, she's going to have a baby. Abraham believed it. This is ridiculous. She's way past childbearing age. In fact, it took another 25 years for the baby to be born. He believed it, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's new covenant. We're not saved through works. We're saved by grace through faith. So if anybody ever asks you, how do you know you are saved? You can answer very clearly, because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit has created faith within you. Remember, I cannot by my own reason or strength come to the Lord Jesus or even believe in him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightening me with his gifts, etc., etc. So what we're talking about here are two different agreements God made with his people. The first one failed because it was based on my agreement. Namely, I will obey all these things as though I have the ability to do so. I'm a pastor. I sin every day. If not by deed, by thought, by word. In fact, the mark of the Christian is that you should think you're a worse sinner today than you did yesterday. Because the more you read the Bible, the more you recognize how sin so envelops our lives. Oh, yes, we do fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the old Adam always has a sinful ulterior motive in every work that we do. So it's impossible to ever hand God a good work and say, finally, I made it. Because of the old Adam that still clings to us, which will be gone on that day of judgment when we receive our immortal body of flesh and blood to be with Jesus forever and ever in the heavenlies. That's what we're really talking about when we talk about the two covenants, two agreements, and we are under the gospel covenant, not the law covenant. But the law is still included in the sense that God still does not want us to steal, still does not want us to covet, etc. But now we do so out of love for Jesus. And in fact, you can't even do so until you are totally saved. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. So on tomorrow's Law and Gospel with Mark Smith, we're going to look at one of my favorite hymns. My song is Love Unknown. It is so well written. Look forward till tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.